You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. We'll start there. I want to minister a little bit on Christmas and what it means to me, you know, and what the Scripture says about it. It's, you know, we do all the decorating and... Don't get me started. Vernon's been decorating for how long? Well, you know, we used to have a tree. Now we got 20 of them, I think, all over the house. I don't know how many there are. No, it's not that many. What, 10? Right? Yeah. Different theme in every room. Nutcracker in one room. Snowman in another room. You know, I don't have to tell Steve this. I know Vanji is like going to a Christmas store at her house. And I'm for that. I think that's great. I love I like playing Christmas music, you know, and having all the garland and the lights and all that in the trees, and it's neat. I sit in my little, what I call my sitting room, where my fireplace is, and I've got a big bookshelf in there, and I read. That's my favorite room in the winter. And I get the fire going. There's garland across the, you know, top of the fireplace, and there's a tree in that room in there. Yeah, the tree in that room. And I just love it. It just gets you thinking about Christmas, you know. But Christmas is more than just that. It's more than all the sparkly lights and all the gift giving. There's a reason for all those things, you know, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. We know that. But it was because of love. A lot of people say, you know, Christmas is about love. Well, that's true. It's about the love of God. You know, they'll say Christmas is about giving. That's true, too. But it's about the gift of God's Son. Amen. Are you with me? And then some people say, well, it's about the kids. Well, no. It's not really. It is in one sense. It's about us being the children of God and Him coming to us and making us His kids through the gift of His Son. That's true. And sometimes we, you know, we'll take themes about Christmas and miss the point of Christmas. Are you with me? And yet there's some truth there. It is about giving. It is about love. It's about family. It's about us being ushered into the family of God. It's about God making a way for us to become part of His family. But ultimately, it did start with love. There's no question about that. And I love that here in 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter. In the fourth through the seventh verses. Now I'm reading out a New King James Version. Listen to this. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Amen. This is why we have Christmas. It's because God did not hold our sins against us. He did not rejoice in our iniquity. He suffered long with us. He was not provoked by us. And because love never fails, it overcame our sin. I mean, ultimately, you know, we talk about this as a standard, a pattern to live by. Boy, of all times of year, what a great passage of verses. You ought to get this laminated and put it on your refrigerator because relatives are coming. And you need to say these over and over. Hate kills. Love heals, okay? You cannot take offense. And don't give offense. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, we love each other, but sometimes we get together and, man, you know, here we go. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not, we don't try to up each other. You know, that's not what it's about. It's not about us individually. It's about Him and about us as a group. Thank God for families. Thank God for the time we have together. You know, I mean, I do. I go over these verses. I just think about them and go over them and zip my lip and at times, you know. When it's about the love of God. Praise God. And we are instruments of that love, and we're supposed to emanate that love and shine that love and show that love, especially this time of year, especially when families get together and all the in-laws and outlaws show up. And, you know, don't forget what this is all about. Don't forget who we are, and don't forget why we have Christmas. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, you know it, you could quote it, every one of us could, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God did not rejoice in our iniquity. And God did not take offense. And he didn't hold us against us. He didn't seek his own. He sought us. And he endured us. He didn't give up on us. Because that's what love does. It suffers long, suffers long. And it won. Love never fails. I love that. The New Living Translation says it this way. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, but it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Wow. What's love got to do with it? Everything. The love of God has everything to do with, especially this time of year, Christmas. Turn with me to Matthew 1. Let's talk about Christmas here. Hallelujah. I just love talking about love. It's such a challenge to us. You know, whenever you think, excuse me, you're just doing wonderful, that's probably your worst moments. Now, you probably are doing better, thank God for that. But every one of us have room for improvement. I mean, there's no question that we can improve and get better. All you got to do is just have one little confrontation and you're ready to get saved all over again. You know, and I know I'm saved, stay with me. But there are things that irritate you. There are things that get on your bad side, as it were. And you need to realize, hey, we're going to have to love here. We're going to have to forgive here. Love's the way to go here. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about loving each other. It's about loving people. Because if it weren't for the love of God, we wouldn't have Christmas. He wouldn't have wasted his time. He wouldn't have sent Jesus down here. And you wouldn't be saved. And you wouldn't be going to heaven. We'd all still be going to hell. But love overcame our sin. It overcame what Adam did. It overcame all of that. And 2,000 years ago, God visited us in Jesus Christ. In that manger scene. That was the master in that manger. That was the creator in that crib. And he came to die for your sins and for my sins. And to conquer hell, death, and the grave. To rise victorious and restore you back to him. To bring you back into the family. Not push you away. Not separate you. Not talk to you again the rest of your life. But to bring you back in. And make you part of his family. Now that's what Christmas is about. Christmas means we have a Savior. Christmas means we have salvation. We have been saved. In Matthew 1, this of course is the account of, in the 18th verse, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. New King James Version. King James says, was on this wise. It happened like this. This is the way it took place. Anybody seen Charlie Brown Christmas? Where Elias grabs that blanket and tells the story? Well, he's reading out of Luke, I think, when he reads that. I hadn't seen that in years, but I remember, you know, him holding that blanket and telling that story. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed or espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. This is supernatural. This Jesus we're talking about is not a man. Oh, he was a man, but he wasn't just a man. He was God in the flesh. His daddy was not Joseph. His daddy was God. Amen? He wasn't just a good teacher. Wasn't just a good man. Wasn't just a good example. Wasn't all that. No, we didn't need all that. Been a lot of good teachers, good examples. Let me tell you something. Plato was a good man. Plato was a good teacher. Buddha was a good man. He was a good teacher. Really, if you ever read Plato, I mean, he was a great guy, virtuous man, believing in virtue, believing in honor, integrity, all those things. I believe that was the way to live your life and order your life. Buddha, my goodness, he was about peace and, you know, niceness and nicety and kindness and forgiveness and all those things. He was good. You know, those are good examples and good teachings that we could follow. But we didn't need that. Are you with me? We've had a lot of good men, good women throughout the ages. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins.
Yeah, that's right.
And Jesus didn't come just to give us the golden rule. Actually, that wasn't anything new. The golden rule is in most every culture. You find it. You find it in Buddhist teaching. You find it in Plato's teaching. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's just something that's common amongst all philosophies, really. It wasn't anything new or innovative. You know, you go through that. Well, what did he do? He came to die for our sins. Buddha didn't do that. Plato didn't do that. Are you with me? Muhammad didn't do that. No, there was a purpose. There was an intent here. I think it's interesting that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, you know, indicative of being buried and wrapped up. He came to die. That was his mission, was to give his life for our sins. Now, he was a great teacher. He was a good man. He was perfect in all respects and sinless, no question. But he was more than that. Hello. It says here that she was a child of the Holy Ghost. Wow. So he was born of God. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately or secretly. I think that's fascinating. Here's Joseph. For whatever you think about Joseph, he was the man that God chose to raise his son. Okay? And the law says, now in this case, this has never happened. So here's Mary with child. He's engaged to her. Well, the law says stone her. Real simple. In his mind, in the natural, there's only one way that could happen. I mean, they may not have been doctors, but they understood what went on. You know, I've heard people say miracles only happen in cultures and times where people were ignorant of natural law. No, they were very much aware of natural law. If they didn't understand natural law, they wouldn't recognize a miracle. This was a miracle. And the only way they knew it was a miracle is because they fully understood what it took to have a baby. And so he had every right, according to the law, to take her out and have her stoned. That's what the law says. But notice it says he was a just man. I love that. He was a very just man. And he didn't want to do that. He wanted to put her away privately and not have her killed for this, what he perceived as a sin. It was not a sin. It was of the Holy Ghost. And while he was meditating on that, see, and thinking about that, it says in the 20th verse, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Wow. So God spoke to him. Overshadowed Mary. We know the story there in Luke where Gabriel came and announced she would give birth to the Son of God. And now he overshadows in a dream. An angel comes and tells Joseph to not be afraid to take her because this is of the Holy Ghost. And it says the 21st verse, and he shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Wow. That's what we're talking about. Christmas. We have a Savior that has saved us from our sins. Because of the love of God, the overwhelming, overshadowing, unfathomable love of God, look beyond our sin, look beyond our faults, look beyond our seemingly worthlessness, look to this broken, fallen world, and so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. This was his mission. This is what he came to do. This is why he came. This is why he died. This is why he rose again. And this is why we have Christmas. Because we have a Savior. We don't have another Buddha. We don't have another Plato. We don't have another good teacher. We have a Savior. Amen. That saved us from our sins. And so we give our gifts, and you know we do, and we should. It, just as an example, I mean, we're trying to do our best to be like him and help others and bless others and give to others. But we can never, ever duplicate the gift of eternal life that he gave us through his Son, Jesus Christ. These are just tokens, just pictures, just inklings of what he has done for us. And we should realize that and stand in awe at Christmas of what God did in saving us from our sins. Turn over to Luke 2. Hallelujah. Luke, the second chapter. Deke Silverman said a few things about this last week. Was it last week? Yeah. Good. Yeah, got that right. Last couple weeks have been a little bit of a blur to me. Luke, the second chapter, notice in the 8th verse, it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. I know the song says certain poor shepherds. The Bible doesn't say poor, it just says shepherds. But they were out watching their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, And the glory of the Lord shone. I need a blanket, don't I? Like Linus telling the story. And the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Wow. Can you imagine? I mean, think about this. They're out just doing their job, keeping sheep. That's what they do, you know. And God came and visited them. I think it's interesting. They weren't fasting and praying, you know. And I believe in fasting and praying. I believe in seeking the Lord. But God can talk to you anywhere, anytime. Often does. Often talks to us at unusual times. Often when we're not even thinking about Him, He'll speak to us. That's why we need to be open. Amen? Yeah, we need to seek His face. Yes, we need to pray. Yes, we need to fast and to do all those things. But I'm just saying this, God's not limited to that. I mean, if He wants to get a message across, He can speak to us. I believe He's talking all the time. We're just not listening. But they were just out keeping sheep. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. I mean, this was an awesome event in their life to take place out here in this field keeping these sheep. Nothing like this had ever happened to them. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." That's what God always says, and that's what the angels always say. God doesn't want you to be afraid. Amen? Yeah. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Hallelujah. That's what the other thing Christmas is about. We don't have anything to fear. Praise God. We're going to heaven. Got a Savior. We can look at that Christmas tree and those gifts and tell the Christmas story and have joy and have faith and courage for the future. You know, we don't have anything to fear anymore. We used to have to fear. We don't now.
That's right.
Reminded about it every year, hopefully every day, but every year at least we're reminded. Christmas, Christ Mass, massing around Christ. Hallelujah. Not Xmas, but Christmas.
Amen.
Not happy holidays.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Now keep the spirit of Christmas when you say it too, because a lot of people just get mad. Merry Christmas! Well, you know, you need to kind of do it with a little love there instead of, you know, I hear a lot of people say happy holidays, and they don't mean anything by that, that's fine. But I always respond Merry Christmas, you know. Merry Christmas to you, you know, because it's about Him. Not just a holiday. Nobody says happy holidays on the 4th, they say happy 4th, July. Happy Thanksgiving. Don't say happy holidays. Happy Why is it Christmas we have to say happy holidays? It's Christmas.
Amen.
Get a hold of it.
Amen.
Amen. Great joy, it says. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will help, which will be to all people." Christmas time is a time of joy. Not did you get that last Christmas card out. Not, "Oh my Lord, I got this card from somebody, I didn't send him one. Oh, run down to the mailbox, send out another one. Did you get that gift? Did you spend enough money on that gift? Did you include so and so? Are you with me? Did you get the right color tie? Please don't get me a tie." I mean, we think of all these things at Christmas and we get all wrapped up in them, and you know, and again, as I said about the decorations, we decorate, and my goodness. Brenda decorates. Excuse me. Brenda decorates. She hadn't got me trained like Steve. But anyway. Van's going to get you decorated? Okay. Yes. Yep. He's going no. She's going yes. But anyway, y'all figure that out. But all that going on, we get so wrapped up in it. And I love that. I think that's wonderful. Are you with me? I'm for that. So don't run out here and say I'm against that. We've got this decorated up here. I mean, Teresa and Jeanette and Taylor. Yeah, did a great job decorating here for Christmas. But we're under no delusion. We know this is just symbolic of something far greater, something far fancier, something far more celebratory, brings more joy than just this. Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Great joy.
Yes.
Which shall be to all people. 11th verse. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior who is Christ the Lord. I love that. You know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Yes, we do. We celebrate the birth of a Savior, Jesus. Amen? The birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise. "You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." So we're celebrating Jesus' birthday. I have it in our house. We've got a banner that was over a big manger scene in our living room, and it says, "Happy Birthday, Jesus." We used to always have that for the kids. You know, we ought to celebrate Jesus' birthday. We never went the Santa Claus route. I'm not up here just blasting Santa Claus. There was a Saint Nicholas that did good things, and stay with me. We just never went that route. We always just made really Jesus did up, you know. We had birthday Jesus everywhere, and manger scenes everywhere, you know. And that's true. It's had birthday Jesus, our Savior. Are you with me? So he's saying here, and very plainly, that unto us was born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus, who will save us from our sins. Turn over to John, the fourth chapter. We're just going to go through some scriptures that say this. Is this helping you?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I hope you understand. I've heard people say, well, I don't think we ought to celebrate all that. You know, I think it's all commercialized and everything. Hey, I'm for anything that promotes Jesus. I'm for anything that draws people's attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I'll decorate the house, put lights all around it if it'll bring people to Jesus and bring their attention to Jesus. Are you with me? And bring my kids to a point of excitement and joy about the birth of a Savior. You know, they should remember that. I think we should be all excited. We ought to sit around and tell the story. Ought to give gifts. I think that's wonderful. We ought to decorate. It ought to be a special time. Why? Because we're celebrating a Savior.
Yes, amen. That's right.
We just don't want to get confused about all that. We want to make it plain that that's all about our excitement and our joy because we have a Savior. Hallelujah. I mean, how'd you like to have been there when the angels came and sang? Woo! Man, that was awesome. That was just over the top. That was, you know, I can't imagine what it would have been like. We're going to hear that kind of singing for long when we get to heaven. But they heard the angels sing and rejoice and give glory to God. They went on. I didn't finish that, but they went on and sang, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. You will not have peace in your house until you give glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest brings peace on earth. Until you glorify Him, you won't have peace. There's a pattern. There's a protocol, as it were. There's an order to that. You have to give glory to God to have peace on earth. And the reason you have no peace in your house is you're not giving God glory in heaven. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Or to men of goodwill, I believe is what it literally says there. John 4 chapter. Excuse me, you found it?
Yes.
This is where, you remember where Jesus went to the woman at the well, Samaria, and turned out that, you know, he said, bring your husband. She says, well, I don't have a husband. He said, you spoke the truth because you've had five husbands. And she was living with a guy then, wasn't her husband. So she wasn't probably just citizen of the year that year. Are you with me? But Jesus loved her and forgave her. I think that's awesome. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, I think it's awesome when you think about the Gospels. Matthew's Gospel is real stately, real kingly. That's where the wise men come and see Him, you know, over in the second chapter, and bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we sing those songs, we three kings of Orient. Well, we don't know it was three. It just says kings, or wise men. Weren't even kings. They were part of the Magi. But they brought gold and brought frankincense and myrrh. And the whole Gospel of Matthew is filled with that. This was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet. This was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. You know, it's real stately. I spoke to the Jews, Jesus is the King of Kings. Here comes Luke, you know, and we get the story of the angel visiting Mary and the conversation going back and forth with Mary. And we see the angels visiting the shepherds, the lowly shepherds out there in the field, you know. So it tells us that from the lowest to the highest, He is Lord. From the highest, you know, He's Lord. And from the lowest, He is Lord. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He loves all of us. God doesn't have class distinction. You know, sometimes the rich look down on the poor. Sometimes the poor look down on the rich. Hello. Sometimes people are just proud of being ignorant and poor and having nothing. And despise people that have education and that have things. Are you with me? And some people that have education and have riches despise people that have no education and have nothing. And God doesn't see any of it. He sees none of that. In fact, He just loves us all the same. In fact, this is good news to all people. Everybody say all people. Not just Jews, but Gentiles. Not just slaves, but free people. Not just men, but women. To all people, good news. It's Christmas. We have a Savior. So anyway, he ministered to this woman, you know, and of course she was amazed because he just read her mail, as it were, and says, well, you spoke the truth. You don't have a husband. The one you're living with is not your husband. You've had five before this. And then she began to believe in him as the Messiah, went back to her town and evangelized the town. The whole town came out to hear him. And he began to minister to them. This is in Samaria, Sychar, city of Sychar. And it says, the 39th verse of the 4th chapter of John, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, but we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Man, love that. Shepherds figured it out. Joseph definitely figured it out. And Mary, the angels told them. Well, Jesus shows up, and these people of Samaria figured it out. Christmas is about a Savior, that Jesus came to save us from our sins. Now, this is a theme you see all through the Scripture. Look at Acts, the 13th chapter. Acts 13. This is where Paul went and preached to the Galatians this time. He went to a city called Antioch of Pisidia. There were two Antiochs in the Bible. One of them was a big church, a missionary outreach church in Syria. But Paul went over to the region of Galatia, which is present-day Turkey. And he began to evangelize in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. He was stoned in Lystra, left for dead. And he raised from the dead. And he kept preaching. He preached back through Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium, and Antioch. And that was the region of Galatia. And the book of Galatians is written to those people. And it took place here in the 13th and the 14th chapter. And it says here in the 13th chapter. Let me turn there. It'd be good if I got there too. He was preaching to the Jews, because this is what Paul would do when he'd go into a city. He'd go first to the synagogue, and he'd preach to the Jews, and they would kick him out, and then he'd preach to the Gentiles. That's the pattern. I mean, they'd persecute him everywhere he went. And he started churches everywhere he went, and he would start Gentile churches, basically all of them. You know, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all these were Gentile churches, the Corinthians, Gentile churches, because he was rejected by the Jews. Actually, it was his calling. God called him to the Gentiles. But he would try to minister to his Jewish brethren, and they'd persecute him. And here he was in Antioch of Pisidia, doing the same thing, going to the Jews. And he said to them in the 13th chapter, 23rd verse, says, from this man's seed, speaking of David the king, God had raised up David as king. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. Wow. I know it's not rocket science here. It's a simple message. But the angel said he was a Savior, and the people of Samaria recognized him as a Savior. No question about that. It's what it says in Luke, Matthew, what it says in John. And here's Paul preaching to the Jews in Antioch and said that he was a Savior. See, we've got to get that point, because that's the point. That's the purpose. That's the whole mission. That was his whole reason for coming and doing what he did, to save us. So Christmas comes around, and we celebrate Jesus' birthday, yes. We celebrate that little babe in a manger, sure, I understand that. He was a babe in a manger. But we celebrate salvation. Get it? We have a Savior. Hallelujah. Not just a good man, not just a little baby, but a conqueror. Conquered hell, death, and the grave. A warrior. Defeated the devil, Satan, and all of his cohorts. And arose victorious with the keys of hell and death in his hand. And arose and made a way for all of us to go to heaven. And sat down on the right hand of God, making it good for all these 2,000 years. And one day he's coming again. And as that song, I love that song. It's an old DeGarmo and Key song. It says, last time he came, they pushed him around. Next time he comes, they best be out of town. Because he's coming in glory next time. He's coming in vengeance next time. He's coming as judge next time. He has come first to save us. And thank God we have received it and we've accepted it. And we're going to live forever with him. Forever. And we're going to come back with him and rule and reign on this earth. It's not going to be like that first time. Are you with me? This first time, what we're celebrating is this Savior that we have in Jesus Christ. Turn to Philippians 3. This helping you? Just going through some scriptures here about a Savior. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, third chapter, Paul speaking. Paul talked a lot about Jesus and talked a lot about him being the Savior. You just can't separate him from that. You can't, you know, you don't think about Buddha as Savior. You know, you don't think about Muhammad as Savior. You don't think about Plato as Savior. You don't even, you know, people try to throw them all together. I love that when they try to do that. They'll say, oh, yeah, you believe Jesus. I'm Buddhist or I'm a Muslim or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. Oh, I follow the teachings of Plato, whatever. Well, see, he's not even in that same category. What are you talking about? We're not talking about another teacher. Plato didn't come save you from your sins. Muhammad never come save anybody. Had some teachings, and the Quran came out of what he said, his teachings, they recorded some of that, wrote it down. He wasn't a savior. He didn't die for anybody. Never claimed to save anybody. Buddha never said, follow me. Buddha never said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Are you with me? Jesus said, you know, he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am. He didn't say, I have a way. I show you a way. I teach you a way. He said, I am the way. Man, if Moses said that, they would kill him. If Buddha said, they would have killed Buddha. And they killed Jesus for it too. Only problem is, he came back to life. Messed all that up.
Amen.
They thought they buried him. They just planted him.
Mm-hmm.
What you plant comes back up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, that's the theme you see all through the Scripture. That's what we celebrate this time of year. Not another religion and another religious leader that was born 2,000 years ago. No, a Savior was born 2,000 years ago. Jesus has saved us from our sins. Hallelujah. We have salvation now. Woo, man, put another candle on that tree. Well, make sure it's not a real tree, but I want to burn it up. Turn another light on. Are you with me? Put another tree in another room. Don't tell my wife. Anyway. So here's Paul speaking to the Philippians. And he says in the third chapter, the 20th verse, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! That's what we're waiting on. Jesus is coming. You know that? Every Christmas I think about it. He came, but he's coming again. Yeah, he came. He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. Who's our Savior's coming. Our Savior's coming. Hallelujah. You look around the world and you see things going on, God, lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. The Bible says when you see these things come upon the earth, it doesn't say fear. It doesn't say be afraid. He said lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We're getting closer to the time that Jesus is coming. He came. We celebrate that every Christmas. Hallelujah. He came to save us from our sins. And he's coming again. We look for this Savior, Jesus, to save us from our sins. Hey, 2 Timothy, turn there. 2 Timothy, excuse me. Came to heal us of our diseases, too. 2 Timothy 1, I believe that's where I want to go. Woo. 2 Timothy, yes, 1. Hey, a couple more verses. Can you hang with me for a couple more verses?
Yes, sir.
This is some good ammo used against the devil. You know, y'all be writing notes and putting this down. We got a Savior. We got a Savior. I've been saved. I've been saved. Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. It says here in the 2 Timothy, the first chapter, 10th verse says, well, let's back up. Okay, 9th verse. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah, somebody. But according to his own purpose and grace, which were given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Oh, gotta love that. You know, you can't talk about salvation without a Savior. you know, when we talk about being saved, we got a Savior saved us. So that's just synonymous. If you're talking about salvation, you got to be talking about Jesus. That's what we're celebrating here. That Emmanuel, that's the word, Emmanuel means God with us. God has visited us. Did you know one place and time, 2,000 years ago, God basically opened the heavens, came down, and became one of us. A perfect one of us, a sinless one of us, to redeem us, to save us, because we couldn't save ourselves. You know, real simply put, you think about all the law required that a lamb without spot, without blemish, shed his blood and his blood be shed for the nation. And they would examine that lamb, you know, for 3 days. They would make sure there were no spots on that lamb. And the high priest would slay that lamb and that blood would run down the altar and he'd take that blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle it on the mercy seat of God. And God would pass over their sins for a year. That's why they call it Passover, because he'd pass over their sins. That's where they put the blood on the doorpost and so on and so forth. But it was just a temporary thing. It never was permanent. Every year they had to redo that because we were waiting for someone that would do it eternally, forever. And no one could do that because every lamb we examined, we're the lambs, had spots. Everybody was born with spots. Everybody's born through Adam. And so it was never going to happen. 4,000 years went by, and the sin of Adam never had a redeemer. We never had a redeemer. And then God said, you know, there's only one way this is going to happen, and that's for me to become a man and do this whole thing over again. Somebody's going to have to come from heaven and do this, because nobody in the earth can, because everybody in the earth's got spots. And so Jesus came spotless. And when John saw him, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And so now we got a Savior. And he lived a perfect, sinless, holy life. But he had one purpose. He had one mission. And his destiny was to die for our sins. That's why he came. If you miss that, you miss the whole point. You miss Christmas altogether. Because Christmas is about having a Savior. Someone who came from another world. Hallelujah. God himself. Spotless, sinless, holy, the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Now all of us spotted people. Although our sins were like scarlet, he has washed us white as snow. And now we are the children of the living God. And now we have a Savior, hallelujah, who is Christ the Lord, the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Whew. A couple more verses. Titus 2. There's no finishing this. You just stop it. Go home. Titus. 1st, 2nd Timothy. Titus. I remember where I was supposed to be. Yes. Titus 2.13. Yes. Titus 2. Excuse me. Titus 2.13. Notice this. Looking for, here he is again talking about looking for his coming. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what he's looking for. You know, it's all in the same breath. Jesus, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the birth of Jesus, our Savior. We celebrate his birth. Whose? Jesus, our Savior. That was his purpose. That was his whole intent. And the last verse here, 2 Peter. Can I give you two more? I promise. This is it. Okay. 2 Peter. This is interesting. This is the last thing Peter said. The last verse of his second epistle. We have two epistles, two letters that he wrote. 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And this is the last one. And he... excuse me. Sure, I get the right book. Yeah, 2 Peter, the very last verse, 3rd chapter, 18th verse. He says, "But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." That's the last word he said, the last thing he said. He said, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Notice how he's adamant about that. Peter's adamant about it. Paul's adamant about it. The Samaritans made it real plain. The angels, you know, left us with no question concerning the matter that Jesus came to save us. Hallelujah. And we have a Savior. And we have salvation. It's Christmas. Wow. That is awesome. Merry Christmas. You know, I say that every year, that it means something when we say Merry Christmas. You got a Savior. Merry Christmas. You're going to live forever. Your sins are forgiven. Merry Christmas. He has come to save us from our sins. Oh man, that'll make you put your tree up. That'll make you get excited. That'll make you put some lights up. You know, that'll. Okay, John 4. 1 John 4. Last one. This is it. I'm going to quit. There's John speaking now. There's John speaking. We had Peter, Paul, Samaritans, the angels. I mean, if you actually, it'd be a good study just to go through how many different people, how many different testimonies were given. In fact, if you read the book of John, the Gospel of John, it's just full of testimonies of people that testify that Jesus is the Christ. John the Baptist said it, you know, and all through there, Andrew, Peter's brother, found him, the Christ. And of course, that woman said he's the Christ. And those people of Samaria said he was the Christ. And Nicodemus recognized him as the Christ. And all through there, it's a book of confessions and testimonies of people, all different walks of life, that realized that he was the Savior, that he was the Messiah. It's an awesome study. If you want to go through the book of John and do that, as you read through there, just kind of underline, highlight, or write down, every time someone said he was the Christ, he was the Savior, he was the Messiah. It's a book of testimonies. And you know what? We're still doing that today. Michael Williams from Wills Point, Texas, will tell you Jesus is the Christ. I have found the Savior. He has saved me from my sins. And all of you can stand up and testify the same thing. So here's John talking about that in 1 John 4. He says, the 13th verse, says, "By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world.
Amen.
Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." Wow. What did they testify? That the Father sent the Son as Savior of the world. That's what we celebrate. The birth of Jesus, yeah. Jesus, the Savior. In fact, his name means salvation. That's what the name Jesus means, Yeshua. Jesus, Joshua in the Old Testament, that word means to be delivered, a deliverer, a Savior. And that's what the angel said. Now think about it. He said, "You shall call his name Jesus," because that's what it means, "for he shall save his people from their sins." So, Merry Christmas.